For the next oral presentation, and the speaker is here already. So Vivek Gabriel?
Yeah.
12 minutes.
Okay. Good morning all. Myself Vivek. I'm from Luleå Institute of Technology in Sweden, and I'm here to present on crack density growth in high temperature crossplay laminates subjected to elevated temperature. So here I have a small introduction followed by testing methodology, then the test results and prediction results of as-built specimens static tested at room temperature and elevated temperature, and the same for the heat treated specimens, and finally some conclusions. So the recent trend is the aircraft industries are keen on developing high temperature polymer composites for low compressor region components in the aero engines, where the temperature may reach up to 200 degrees Celsius. In such cases, the laminates suffer long-term thermal exposure, thermocycling, static and vibratory load, and even moisture ingression. So this causes damage in the material and affects the life of the composite laminate. So it's important to predict the life of the composite laminate. So to study it and simulate in a lab environment, UD carbon fabric with warp and weft ions reinforced in a high temperature polymer using a RTM machine and crossplay laminates as given here were manufactured. So the manufactured laminates have a different 90 layer thicknesses and also different volume fractions. Here is an optical microscopic picture of a crossplay laminate. Here I'm showing you the 0.92 symmetry. What we can see here is the bundle structure of the fiber retain the shape with the yarns and the matrix rich region in between them. And also we happen to see some cracks developed from the stress developed from the cooling down from manufacturing temperature. And these yawns significantly influenced the initiation and the propagation of these transverse cracks, and not just from manufacturing, but also upon mechanical loading. So here is an example of a coupon-sized specimen, and it was quasi-static tensile tested at room temperature and elevated temperature. In case of room temperature, it's a conventional test protocol. Loading is... the specimens were loaded to a desired strain level and the damage is induced, whereas at elevated temperature, the environmental chamber together with the specimen was taken to 150 degrees Celsius, that's the test temperature, and held at that temperature for a few minutes for thermal equilibrium. Then they were loaded to induce the damage. So the damage that I'm talking here is the transverse cracks and crack density. And this causes stiffness reduction. So the priority here is to first to predict the crack density, then to stiffness reduction. So brief on a test plan. I'm going to show you on the plate 2, which is 0.92 symmetry. The specimens were differentiated based on the as-built condition, then the heat-treated conditions. The heat treatment involves isothermal aging at 150 degrees Celsius for 500 and 1,000 hours. Later, these specimens were quasi-static tested at room temperature and 150 degrees Celsius, quasi-static tensile tested. So the results we get is crack density versus the strain, and this is translated to the thermomechanical transfer stress in 90 layer using the classical laminate theory. This presentation focuses on the later part here. So in this slide, we see the test results of as-built specimens static tested at room temperature and the elevated temperature. In the left graph, in the crack density versus mechanical strain, we see the barely noticeable trend. Of course, the black ones are the room temperature test and the red ones are the elevated temperature. So what is that is, there is a barely noticeable trend at elevated temperature where the crack density growth is slightly lesser than the room temperature test. Whereas if I translate it to thermomechanical transfer stress in 90 layer, at the same stress level, it had more crack density than it was at room temperature. So it kind of says that there is a reduction in transverse cracking resistance at elevated temperature. So there are a couple of things I should tell you, that I only observe the edge cracks. The tunneling is under analysis. And the crack density was, however, determined from the average of crack density in both edges. And the stress was calculated using the elastic constant that was determined at room temperature, but not at elevated temperature, which is also yet to be done. So a bit about the statistical modeling, and we know fiber clusters with stress concentrations are different in different positions. So the stress required to initiate a crack at a position is the failure stress at that position, and the distribution of this failure initiation stress is described using the two-parameter variable distribution model. And here the assumption is the shape parameter remains the same for all conditions, whereas the scale parameter changes according to the temperature or conditioning. So it's kind of a function of stress, temperature, and time. And at reference temperature and condition, in our case, it's room temperature and the as-built condition. So the scale parameter remains the same. In other conditions, otherwise, it is a product of K1 and K2 fitting parameters. K1 is a function of test temperature, and K2 is a function of heat treatment. When as-built specimens quasi-static tested at any arbitrary temperature, the K2 is equal to 1, and from empirical fitting, the K1 is found to be a function of difference between test temperature and the reference temperature. And C is an empirical constant based on the material behavior with the temperature. So from the reference condition, the shape, the variable parameters were determined, and using the K1 parameter, the crack density growth was predicted at elevated temperature as well as at room temperature with a good agreement. Now moving forward to the heat treatment, once again the heat treatment was done at 150 degrees Celsius for 500 hours and 1000 hours. The first immediate observation is we had the increase in crack density growth from as-built condition. And also the already existing cracks are a bit widely open, and there was some hygroscopic shrinkage. Well, first let's focus on why is the crack density growth is. Maybe it could have came from the thermal cycling we unintentionally did for the weight measurements during the aging. So the thermal cycling or the rapid cool down could have caused the crack density, and it was confirmed in the later complementary test. But let's see its effect in the cracking during the static loading. Now what we see here is the heat treated specimens tested at room temperature in the left graph and in the right graph at elevated temperature again, 150 degrees Celsius. So again, the immediate observation here is at a certain stress level, the heat treated specimen had more crack density than in as-built specimens. It was the same case in elevated temperature as well, but though the scatter was a bit narrow, but still from other experiments we confirmed it, the heat treatment had an effect in a reduction in cracking resistance. But we also need to find out, was it really the isothermal aging or the thermal cycling caused this reduction in transverse cracking resistance? So we had another plate with a thinner 90 layer where we had different conditions, as-built and heat-treated condition, and also only 15 thermal cycle condition. And what we saw was the isothermally aged specimen had more crack density at a certain stress level than the thermally cycled or the as-built specimens. But also there is a slight indication, the blue ones, the thermal cycling are a bit on top of as-built ones. Maybe that could have came from the total time it was at 150 degrees Celsius during the thermal cycling, so which was summed up to 6.5 hours. So then from empirical fitting, the K2 value was found out for different conditions for 500 hours and 1000 hours. And using these values and also the K1 parameter, the crack density growth was predicted with a really good agreement, whereas at elevated temperature, there was slight over-prediction, but still it is in a reasonable range to me. So likewise, I found the variable parameters for the plate 4 as well, the thin 90 layers. Then I used the K2 value as previous plate, and it gave me a pretty accurate results here as well. So a bit about K2 degradation. So what I've told is K2 is a function of material, temperature, time, and aging ambience. So assumption here is when at a certain isothermal aging condition, which is at 150 degrees Celsius with air in my case, and for the tested material system, the K2 degradation can be described in terms of aging time, which as shown here. But how the degradation occurs, we don't know yet, but it's a simple exponential fitting that I did. But of course, it remains to be studied in the future. In conclusion, what we saw was the isothermal aging had a significant effect in reducing the transverse cracking resistance upon quasi-static loading than the thermal cycling or the Aspel specimen. And also the variable failure stress model with K1 and K2 parameters in scale parameter predicted the crack density growth in all tested specimens with good agreement. And finally, thanks to you all and thanks to the COMTEST organizing committee and to my funding agencies and partners and my supervisors and scientific advisor and my master thesis student. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for this presentation?
Yes.
Hugh?
What was the cure temperature of your composite? Because I suppose that's a stress-free temperature that you're thermally cycling.
Sorry, could you repeat it again?
What was the cure temperature or the processing temperature of your composite?
I can't say that.
Okay. I guess I'm looking at thermal cycling as well, and if you're curing at 180 degrees, that's kind of your stress-free temperature that I'm considering.
No, I could say that the curing temperature is more than 200 degrees Celsius.
Okay, thank you.
We have another question over there.
Thanks. So it seems that your model will represent the later stage of crack growth, but it seems also that it does not well represent the first stage with the crack initiation. So how could you improve it to better describe the beginning of the crack growth?
I mean, you're asking the crack growth in the width of the specimen, more like a tunneling shape.
Yeah, if you take any of the curve of the crack density variation, it seems that it starts with a finite value and makes a plateau before having the distribution that you capture with your model.
I'm sorry, still I don't get your question.
Maybe if you come back to one of the crack density curve. Okay, so
yeah.
For instance, this one, you see that for like small level of stress, you have some kind of a plateau, and then the model will capture the experimental trend.
So actually that plateau is because of the crack density that was obtained from cooling down from the curing temperature. So we still don't have a proper answer or proper methodology to answer that. But I think that's for the future. Currently, we don't have a solid reason for that or the proper methodology for that.
Well, let's thank the author. Thank you very much.
Thank you.